Hardy with a powerful right hand knocking Sammy Guevara through the stage.
I want a divorce.
Oh! Dog food! He's covered in dog food!
Very elevated up and over the top of the assistant.
Oh! Bailey, no! Get down!
Are you kidding me?
You ruined my life! I told you I was going to ruin yours!
I feed a whole family with this title!
Hello, everybody, and welcome to this week's Highs and Lows in Wrestling here on the unofficial WWE podcast. Today is Monday, July 5th, 2021. My name is Mimi Burris, and yes, I'm late, but I'm trying my best today, guys. I feel like I got mauled by a bear or hit by a bus or something. I'm just not all there, but I do have my voice back today, which is a good start, and so I wanted to be able to get on here to talk about this wonderful, for the most part, wonderful week in wrestling. I mean, there were even parts of Monday Night Raw that were really good, so that's new. But however, before we do, I did want to talk to you guys about something, or just wanted to mention something, and I think this will be the only time that I ever do this, because I don't want to add fuel to the fire, if that makes any sense. But so very, very rarely, but every now and then I go and check on our reviews and see how we're doing, and obviously all that good stuff, just to see. Believe it or not, guys, I actually love some constructive criticism. Maybe the audio's bad, the intro's too loud in comparison to the rest of what you're saying, you say and ah too much, you talk too fast, whatever it is. All for the constructive criticism, guys. I think I've always made it very clear, open channel. Please, I've never done this before. I have no idea what the heck I'm doing. You can always let me know how I can be better and do this better, because that's the goal, at least, I guess. But we did get a review, and so I want to, this episode, this highs and lows of the week here in the first week of July 2021 is dedicated to our friend Logan Meyer, Logan Meyer 23 to be exact, whose review is titled, "Time for Mimi Burris to Go." Go where? I don't know. But he says, "Have I ever heard someone more negative in a podcast? To put it shortly, no. A great podcast, with the exception being how negative and annoying one host is." So, Mr. Logan Meyer, if you find me annoying, that's totally cool. You totally don't have to listen to this podcast. You actually, I don't know who you are, and you don't know who I am, so we never have to come into any kind of social interaction or contact whatsoever. I don't gotta be a part of your life. You don't have to be a part of my life. It's pretty easy. This whole internet thing, not hard. However, Logan brings up a great point that I did want to talk to you guys on this podcast about, because previous to our wonderful Mr. Meyer here, we have gotten reviews, and I've seen them even before I was ever on the show. I remember Matt had addressed a couple of them, talk about how we are too negative on this show, or some of us are just too negative, and oh no, we're just being mean. And guys, I've said it before on the show, I don't want to be negative. I don't want to put down anything in the product. I would love for everything to be awesome, because guess what? That would actually make this job a lot easier, because then I would enjoy being able to, it's more fun to talk about good wrestling than bad wrestling, believe it or not. Or bad pro wrestling, entertainment, whatever you want to call it. So I don't want to come on here and be negative, ever. I try to make it somewhat comedic, and we try to make a little bit of light of some of the things that we can, like, for example, Lana going through a table 9 weeks in a row, because otherwise, what's the grim way that we're going to look at that? A bunch of rich assholes who are putting a woman through a table 9 weeks in a row because her husband chose to go join a different company because he was being creatively stifled in the company that he was and being put in cuckold storylines. I think I can say that word on this podcast. We're gonna leave it for this sake. So I don't know if we don't make light of that, it's just depressing. But so I understand wanting some positivity. If you want some false positivity, if you want me to come on this podcast and talk about the continuous mass releases of people during a global pandemic where there's not a lot of other places to find jobs. Yes, there's AEW, but believe it or not, guys, AEW's roster is mad bloated right now. And yes, there are a few Ring of Honor, New Japan, but right now the indie scene is kind of crap. Why? Because there's a global pandemic. So if you want me to come on here and try to make a positive spin out of a multi-billion dollar company probably, right? That is having record profits in a year when the rest of the world is in turmoil because they're continuously releasing talent. The talent, nevertheless, the talent that they hoarded when they found out about the up-and-coming company of AEW and other companies so that no other wrestling company could have talents like your Ricochets and whoever else, right? The company hoarding that talent and then releasing them when the indie scene is crap, so where can they go now? Gotcha. You know what I mean? Taking food off that family's table just because they want to have better profits to show shareholders so they can make more money the next year. If you want me, Mr. Myers, Mr. Logan Myers, 23, to come on this podcast and put a positive spin on the absolute disgusting, gross, money-grabbing, terrible monopoly that is WWE and the things that they do, you can have a great day. You can have a great day and never listen to my podcast again, because I don't come on here to praise a product that has millions of dollars and crap tons of creative team and decides that they're just not going to put effort into any of the things that they do because they're going to make money anyways. Puts effort into one thing at a time that has continuously undermined women and women's wrestling to the point that one of the most talented women on the roster, nonetheless, gimmick is that she's the most beautiful woman in WWE. I dare you to find Mark Henry coming out and saying that. I don't know why I said Mark Henry. I was thinking about sexual chocolate. I dare you to have Drew McIntyre come out and say his gimmick is that he is the most beautiful man in WWE. That would never happen because WWE is filled with a bunch of misogynistic ass. And so I'm not going to come in here and put a positive spin on any of this crap that I believe is bad. Because guess what? It's America. Happy 4th of July, guys. Freedom of speech. That's the one thing I supposedly have in this country that I'm allowed to do. And so I'm not going to come in here and praise people who aren't doing a good job because they don't really have to because their company is future-proof and can make money for the rest of their life. And I also come on here and I trash some of the stuff that AEW does, guys. AEW has been the low of the week. This is called the highs and lows of the week. Am I supposed to have my high be a high and then my low be, it's not that low. It's just a second high of the week. Guys, if we don't hold accountable the companies that produce pro wrestling for us, if we don't hold accountable and we don't give our own voice, then what's the point of being a fan of it? The whole reason this pandemic has sucked so much for pro wrestling solely, obviously the rest of the world has suffered a lot from it, but in the pro wrestling world, is because we lost the heart and soul of wrestling, which is the fans. So, Mr. Logan Meyer, who wants to stifle me and say that I should be more positive and stop being so negative on the product. No. And with that, guys, if you want me to stop being so negative on the product, if you agree with my good friend here, Mr. Logan Meyer, 23, then guess what? You don't have to listen to this podcast, and you can find a WWE corporate podcast that only praises the stuff that WWE does. Because guess what? They're not allowed to speak out about any of it, and if they do, they get canned, they get blacklisted, they get every other terrible thing that this company can do because they have a lot of money, and that's what happens when you have a lot of money in the world. So that's all from me on that. Only time I'm ever going to probably address that or any of our reviews or stuff. To me, it's just the most, like, lazy comment. If I'm too negative, first of all, I don't even know what that means. Essentially, he's saying you're holding the people who are supposed to produce good TV content, supposedly accountable for not producing it. You jerk, Mimi. Like, what is... Okay. All right, I'm done now. I said I was done before. Now I'm actually done. And we're just going to get into our highs and lows of the week. Because, guys, I have a headache that is on both sides of my head, in the front and in the back. And you know what? Just for our good friend, Mr. Logan Meyer here, we're going to start off on a real negative note. I'm going to be negativer than negative I've ever negatively been. And we are going to start on our low for the week. And what do you know, guys? I'm going to be as unbiased as possible. I always try to be as unbiased as I can here. I am just a fan of good professional wrestling. I am a fan of good professional wrestling. Talking in front of a microphone and to my computer to a bunch of you guys who are also fans of good professional wrestling. And we want it to be good. We don't want to sit here and be negative, but we have to call out these things. For example, your low for the week is this tag team women's match with Dr. Britt Baker and Rebel versus Nyla Rose and Vicky Guerrero on Dynamite this week. And you know, guys, why do we have to talk about these things and try our best to hold companies like this accountable? Because AEW's women division is, what do you know, crap once again. Because they put the strap, they put the belt on the greatest woman in AEW, period. And in professional wrestling right now, debatable. If she had the opportunity to be, without a doubt. But they put the strap on Britt Baker, right? Tried that, maybe that's going to solve whatever's going on. Don't get me wrong. Hikaru Shida was amazing. And that women's eliminator tournament was awesome. Like, they've had a lot of strides making... They've taken a lot of strides to build this women's division. Here's the problem. You have your Ty Contis and your Red Velvets who show up for a week and then they disappear. Where's Serena Deeb, guys? Bring Serena Deeb back. Just have Serena Deeb wrestle a match with, like, Riho for a half an hour on every Dynamite and I'll be satisfied. I don't even need the storytelling aspect, which I try to continue to talk about how important it is every time on the show. But my point being is that you've got Britt Baker and Rebel. Obviously, before I get into this, I want to say I hope Rebel recovers as fast as she can. I think she tore her ACL. I forget exactly what the injury was, but she messed up her leg, breaking up a cover. Ironic that Rebel is the one that got injured in a match with Vicky Guerrero, and Vicky Guerrero had nothing to do with it. Anyways, Vicky Guerrero is not a professional wrestler. Here we go. Britt Baker is a heel. Dr. Britt Baker is booked as a heel. How do I know that? Okay, let's go back to the way that she wrestled in this match. She wouldn't tag Rebel in. She only got the tag in when Nyla Rose was slightly beat down a little bit. Britt Baker wanted nothing to do with Nyla Rose. She played the heel in this match. The problem is, guys, is I don't know about you, but I can't remember a time that Vicky Guerrero was ever a face outside of the time that she saved Rey Mysterio or Dominic Mysterio from being taken from Rey Mysterio in that ladder match. She was super late, by the way, but saved Eddie Guerrero from winning that match and winning the custody of Dominic Mysterio. That's the last time I can remember Vicky Guerrero being a babyface. So you've got heel Nyla Rose and heel Vicky Guerrero versus heel Rebel. Reba, versus heel, and heel Dr. Britt Baker. What? And very rarely does a heel versus heel match work. I have yet to think of a time that it does, but it's very similar to what's going on with Raw, with Charlotte Flair and Rhea Ripley. Here's the problem with a heel versus heel match. I don't like either of you, so I'm not invested in either of you. And I don't know if the play on this is that we're so invested in Britt Baker that we don't even need good storytelling. We'll just stay invested in the match. No, that's not how this works. So if you want to continue to book Britt Baker as a heel, which seemingly they were trying to do here, and I talked about all of this on the AEW Dynamite Review Show too, that you can check out on this same podcast feed. But if you're trying to keep Britt Baker as a heel, then book her against a babyface. Don't book her against a heel. And one of the most notorious heel managers of Vicky Guerrero, which we're going to get into that whole problem in this match too, book her against a face, not a heel. Because now you just have heel versus heel. And one, at the very least, I'm rooting for Britt Baker. And at the very worst, I'm totally uninvested because I don't care about either of these wrestlers. I'm not rooting for anybody to win. I'm sitting watching this match just thinking, what the heck is going on? And then, I don't know if I articulated that well enough, but I'm moving on because you can hear more of my thoughts about that on the Dynamite Review Show. But I do want to talk about this as well. Britt Baker took a needless table bump in that match. For what? For what? There's no story being told here. Or if the story that is being told here, I'll give them that. There is a slight story being told here. The story that is being told makes no sense. And I understand wanting Nyla Rose to be, you know, a feature on Dynamite. She's an awesome talent. She really is. And again, I will always say the women who look different than what you think of when you think of stereotypical women's wrestler, right? I'm talking about your Nyla Roses. Don't get me started on Awesome Kong, who is unbelievable. Even Beth Phoenix at the time looked different than the other women, at least at that time. Your AJ Lee's, who was small and petite and totally just didn't look like your typical Britt Baker's, or I'm thinking like your Charlotte Flair's or whoever, right? Like even Rhea Ripley, who has a different look to her than your stereotypical women's wrestler, and there's nothing wrong with looking like your stereotypical women's wrestler either. Britt Baker, I'm the huge, giant DMD fan through and through, right? I do the thing with her every time she comes out. I am invested in Britt Baker, and I even couldn't get invested in this match. So she takes a needless table bump, which not only, right, does nothing and puts Dr. Britt Baker in danger, right? Because obviously those are not, like, of course they're as safe as they can be, but those are still dangerous bumps to take for what? For nothing. Not only all of that, right, but it also just dilutes the table bump when you do it so needlessly, right? It's how Cody Rhodes needs to bleed in every single match he's ever been in. It just dilutes the impact that blood has on a match. Same thing here. And last but not least, guys, Vicky Guerrero. I think a lot of people thought Thea Trinidad, your Zelina Vega, was going to return, was going to come to AEW, and that was going to be the surprise. You guys, AEW does not bait and switch us. When they say they're going to do something, they do it, except explode a ring, but that's a whole other topic, and that was obviously a mistake. But Vicky Guerrero was actually in a wrestling match. Now, why? Why would Vicky Guerrero need to put herself in a match? She couldn't have just found another partner for Rebel. Well, maybe not, because there's the giant women's division that they have that only gets 5 seconds on every 2-hour Dynamite. Maybe she could have picked one of those women. Instead, you chose to showcase, how old is Vicky Guerrero? I don't even know. And honestly, guys, I'm not even coming at Vicky Guerrero, because I don't mind Vicky Guerrero. I think she was good for what she was at the time, and I'm thinking of SmackDown, obviously. Vicky Guerrero is 52 years old. Oh, she's my height. It says build, curvy. God, I hate the internet. Sorry. Yeah, so Vicky Guerrero was good in her time and good for what she needed to be, and she's a fine manager. Does she need to be with Andrade? No. Does she need to be involved in a wrestling match in a company that is supposed to be a sports simulated company where wins and losses matter? No, she doesn't. Because guess what? What does it matter if Vicky Guerrero gets a win under her belt? She's not going for a title. There is no need for Vicky Guerrero to be in this match. This made no sense. Terrible story being told. And here's my negativity. So eat that, Logan Meyer 23. I'll be as negative as I want to be. And that's your low for the week, guys. This match just didn't need to happen. And Guerrero did one kind of cool pinning attempt, and it was, unless Vicky Guerrero did like a springboard moonsault, I was not going to be impressed, because I was so numb to what this match actually was going to be. Again, poor Rebel being injured. And there was no effectiveness to the post-match table bump. It was just needless and unnecessary. So that's your low for the week, guys. And we are going to move over to our high for the week and talk about some positive stuff. Because believe it or not, I'm pretty positive on this show too. And there was a lot of good stuff to like. I didn't love the... I forgot to mention this last week, because I really did love the debut of Diamond Mind in NXT. I didn't love the way they followed up with it this week. I thought the match was kind of underwhelming. And it was a great grappling match, but you want to make Roderick Strong look strong. It didn't hit for me. I would have liked to see a promo or something, but again, I'm willing to be patient, and I'm sure it's coming, and I will obviously be patient for a Malcolm Bibbins promo, because he's great. I am enjoying the stuff, the Million Dollar Championship stuff that's going on NXT. I thought that mixed tag team match was obviously exciting until what happened to Mercedes Martinez, and obviously we wish her a speedy recovery too. I hope she is okay. I have not heard a lot of follow-up on what happened, but it was a scary bump to watch her take. And, you know, no blame to Xia Li. Like, things happen, you know? I don't think Xia Li has a track record of injuring a lot of women, and so things happen. And yeah, so, you know, wishing obviously Mercedes Martinez the best. I'm excited for what's going on in the NXT tag team division. Congratulations to Isaiah Swerve Scott, who is the new North American champion, because as you guys have probably heard, we have some NXT call-ups possibly happening, even though they're having dark matches on like Main Event and just dark matches on SmackDown and such. Even though Vince McMahon, if you just want to see them wrestle, you can just watch NXT. It's your show, your company, but whatever. And I loved that triple threat tag team match. I thought the right decision was made, and I thought the action was just fun, fast and furious. So NXT was pretty great overall this week. Ricochet versus John Morrison, you can't flub that, guys, and that bump was pretty crazy. We're going to talk a little bit more about a cooler bump that happened this week soon, but I did love that. And obviously, I'm totally cool with WWE having, like, the mats and stuff like that. If to do stuff like that, like, fine. I can suspend my disbelief. I don't need to, like, ruin my own entertainment fun. Like, being like, oh, there's a mat there. Like, no. Cool. That bump still hurts to take. Those men both probably have some of the best abdominal muscles in all of wrestling. All of professional wrestling. Colliding like that's going to hurt, period. Mat or not. So, I thought, just awesome. Fun to watch. Whatever. Needless, awesome wrestling. Drew McIntyre versus Riddle versus AJ Styles. I thought Riddle was kind of the star of Monday Night Raw, as I'm sure a lot of people felt, and I thought this triple threat was insanely awesome. I don't think I would have gone with Drew McIntyre for the win, but that's fine, because let's keep shoving him down our throats. And the Battle Royale was fun even, too. I thought a lot of Raw was good. There was some really bad stuff, but we already talked about the low for the week. So I do want to keep just, again, continuous to praise some of the stuff that was really, really well done. I didn't love SmackDown this week, guys. I understand it was exciting. Edge coming back. I just, a little promo with the weird, like, it's called keyframing when you, like, move up like that. I'm sure a lot of you know that, but that was weird to me. With the picture of him in the part of the steel chair to Roman, and it was, I don't know, it was just weird. Believe it or not, guys, we had Shinsuke Nakamura versus Big E versus Baron Corbin and Apollo Crews. And good news, guys, next week, Shinsuke Nakamura and Baron Corbin are going to fight, because we've never seen that match before for a Money in the Bank qualifier. And thank God we got Big E and Apollo Crews again last week, because I love that match. It's great to see every week, right? Because literally Big E hasn't had a match without Apollo Crews since March. Throwing that out there. It's July, guys. It's July. I don't even want to do that math. And luckily enough, guys, if you wanted more repeats of matches, we've got Seth Rollins versus Cesaro, so it's just going to be SmackDown for the past 4 weeks jammed into one show. Perfect. Perfect stuff. I don't know what to say about the I Quit match. Obviously, Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn beat the crap out of each other in another rematch. What do you know? And Zelina Vega's return. We're going to talk about that in a little while as well. So for the most part, I just wasn't a giant fan of SmackDown. And like I said, guys, there was some stuff in AEW I didn't love either. But, you know, I probably enjoyed Raw more than I did SmackDown this week. Don't get me wrong, there was some crap with Raw. I mean, what is going on with Jackson Ryker and Elias? I mean, no, I'm not doing it, guys. We're talking about the high for the week. We are talking about the high for the week. So I'm also going to go back to AEW for our high. I wanted to be able to mention some of the other shows, though, so we're not just doing AEW Dynamite Review Part 2. And without a doubt, guys, the high for the week goes to Samuel Guevara versus MJF in that main event match. I mean, these two guys, young talent, AEW, pretty much homegrown. Obviously, they both wrestled in other places before, but pretty much homegrown AEW talent, main eventing Dynamite. And this was incredible action. I mean, some of the stuff, and you can hear my full review on the whole thing on the Dynamite review, but that bump over the barricade from the ring, no mat, no anything, straight. Like, I don't know how they managed to do that without paralyzing. I don't know how Sammy Guevara did that without paralyzing himself. That's, like, fun pro wrestling. Just, like, it gave me, like, ECW vibes even. And, like, and I'm talking about original ECW, not WWE ECW. But, I mean, the Spanish Fly looked awesome. And there was a story behind this match, which, like, tied the whole thing together really well. And this, guys, the ending of this match, with Sean Spears hitting Guevara in the head with a steel chair, and MJF getting the pinfall for the victory. Yes, it was interference for the victory. But believe it or not, if it wasn't so overdone in every other show ever, this wouldn't have been irritating to all the people who might be complaining about it. This was actually really good use of interference, because if MJF had won this match clean, and I think it's clear we all knew MJF in the Pinnacle had to win a match here. If MJF had won this clean, then him talking about how he needs a faction and backup and all this stuff would have been for naught, because he could just win matches himself. Why would he need all the help from Sean Spears and a chair? Like, so that made perfect sense. The interference and the finish to this match was exactly kind of what you expected, and it made sense. The Wardlow thing was weird, throwing Chris Jericho off the stage. It just, I think I said this on the review show, on the Dynamite review show. I wish he went through the table or something. But I will say, with all that being said, as a fan, when I was watching this match, I was just yearning for Sammy Guevara to win. And I went more in depth. Obviously, this whole match wasn't perfect, and there were a couple things I picked from here and there. You can listen to that on the Dynamite review if you haven't done so already. But for the most part, guys, this was the wrestling match and anything in pro wrestling, promo match, anything that got me the most hyped up about being a pro wrestling fan again. With fans returned at Daly's Place, it was awesome. That tribute video was awesome. I almost gave that the high for the week, but I didn't think that made a lot of sense. I thought that was really well done. Got emotional watching Brody Lee and Negative One, obviously, with the boots in the ring. Like, the whole thing was just done very tastefully. So, without a doubt, guys, the high for the week. The main event of Dynamite, MJF versus Sammy Guevara. I'm excited to see in 5 years where these guys are at. I guarantee both of them have held at least one championship. And I'm somehow enthralled with this Inner Circle Pinnacle storyline, even though maybe a week ago I was saying this was stupid and really poorly done. So that is all for your highs and lows of the week, guys. And before we obviously log off, I have a random match recommendation for you, as well as your question all the way down or up or over. I'm not good at geography. All the way over in Ireland, Aiden's coming back at us with a question for the week, and it is short and concise, he says, which, thank you, Aiden. Less reading for me. I already have a headache, so that works out perfectly. So, seemingly many in WWE pushed for communication with Thea Zelina. WWE executives reportedly apologized to her, and she eventually agreed to a new offer to return. It's great she's in Money in the Bank. Did you hashtag Money in the Bank? You don't get a hat. This is an email, by the way, Aiden. You can't hashtag in an email. I love that, though. But why a quick loss to the underutilized Liv Morgan in a painfully short match reminiscent of Divas era? Can you make sense of these shenanigans, mess, Mimi? Don't worry, Aiden. I know what shenanigans is. I talk about shenanigans on the show plenty. We have had some returns to WWE above Zelina Vega, Samoa Joe, left hand and right hand not working in unity. Who do you see coming back next? I see Braun Strowman without his choo-choo coming back pre-Royal Rumble, reduced salary, but I'm pretty sure here, Mimi. Have a great week, Aiden. Thank you so much, Aiden. As always, love. This is your section of the highs and lows of the week. So you are an official contributor to the unofficial WWE podcast. First, about your question with Zelina Vega and trying to make some kind of mess, sense of the mess that was that segment on SmackDown. I don't know what they did to get Zelina Vega back, but she, you know, I don't watch her Twitch streams. If anyone else does, I assume she's still doing them. I don't think she would have given those up. So I assume either they offered her more money and she's not doing that anymore, or she's allowed to do that and she just kind of gets a special deal. Maybe she kind of gets the Xavier Woods deal. I don't know. If I were Zelina Vega, I wouldn't have gone back to WWE, because I probably would have wanted to go. If anything, I would have gone back to NXT, where they actually value women in wrestling. So, or at least act like they do. But the quick loss to underutilized Liv Morgan, because I think this is what they consider a push for Liv Morgan. I'm not sure. Roll-ups and quick victories for Liv Morgan, I'm pretty sure that's considered a push in WWE in 2021. So no, Aiden, I can't make sense of this. The only thing I can make sense of it is that both people from SmackDown who got put in the Money in the Bank match without having to win a match lost the match that night. So that makes a lot of sense, because qualifying for Money in the Bank means nothing. And I'm glad she's in Money in the Bank too. I'm glad she's just, she obviously signed the contract to have a job here. They did not hold her against her will, so she must be happy with whatever deal she got. So I'm happy she's happy. I think I think Thea Trinidad had listened to the show in the past. So Thea, if you're out there, Miss Trinidad, if you're out there, we'd love you here at the unofficial WWE podcast, and we want nothing but the best for you. I actually think she is one of the most underutilized, if not one of the best talents in women's wrestling today, because of her work on the microphone and in the ring, but specifically her work on the microphone is nobody can touch her in regards to women besides maybe your Britt Bakers. So that is super exciting just to see her on my TV again. Missed her, and she looked great, obviously. In regards to, so I can't make any mess of it. I can't make any sense of it. Aiden, no, I cannot. I think it's just content for content's sake, or WWE doesn't care about its women's. There's 8 women in that division. Somebody makes, you know what, Mr. Logan Myers, you make sense of the 8 women on the SmackDown roster and try to put a positive spin on that. Anyways. And you said we've had some returns, Zelina and Samoa Joe, and who do I think is coming back next? I agree with you, Aiden. I do think Braun Strowman is eventually going to make his way back to WWE, maybe after some acting classes, and one day Vince McMahon is going to roll on the left side of the bed rather than the right side and wake up and decide, oh, I miss that choo-choo guy, and he's going to hire Braun Strowman back, probably for a little bit less money, but I think Braun Strowman is a guy who knows his worth, apparently, and he's the one who pushed for the increased salary that he recently got, and supposedly is the reason he got released, because they agreed to a salary and then decided, ah, never mind. I assume he's coming back at some point. Otherwise, my only guess is, I think Tommy End, your former Aleister Black, is actually probably going to go to AEW. I think Aleister Black is done with WWE. I would be blown away if he showed back up at WWE. I know that the company had been looking to hire him back, probably for a lesser salary, because these people are awful. They release you, you have no job, and then you're not allowed to wrestle for 90 days, but then they will try to hire you back and pay you less money, and that's the trick of the trade for these terrible money-grabbing people. But, Nick Khan, I'm talking to you. But in regards to maybe Buddy Murphy, let me go with Buddy Murphy, or, yeah, I'm going to go with Buddy Murphy. I'm going to choose Buddy Murphy, not because I think he should return. I think Buddy Murphy is one of the most talented wrestlers in the world as well. We just haven't seen it. I really think Buddy Murphy could do amazing things in your New Japans or your Ring of Honors, even AEW. I would love to see him in AEW, selfishly, obviously, because that's a show I pay much more attention to than your Ring of Honors, and New Japan is just hard to watch, apparently. So, right now, at least. Let me say that. Right now. So, I don't know. But I have a feeling that they're going to try to promise him the world again. And Vince McMahon's going to change his mind. Because, believe it or not, Buddy Murphy, you know, is no longer probably under 205. The guy has gotten big. He works really hard. And he's incredibly talented in the ring. And he's not bad on the microphone, either. We haven't really got to hear a lot from him. But he never, anything that he was scripted to say, he was scripted to say. So we kind of can't judge him off the storylines that he's been in with the Seth Rollins and all that stuff making absolutely no sense. That's WWE's creative. That's not Buddy Murphy. So sadly, I have a feeling, though, they might lure him back in. So that's my guess. I could be wrong, but definitely Braun Strowman will be back in WWE in the next couple of years, I assume. And that's all for me this week, guys. Before I go, though, I'm going to give you a random match recommendation of the week, which is none other than, let's give a shout out to my man Tyler Breeze here and this Fatal 4-Way match that was Adrian Neville, Tyson Kidd, Tyler Breeze, and Sami Zayn, NXT TakeOver number 2. I mean, guys, Tyler Breeze and Fandango and all the awful releases again that happened. Ever Rise. They released Ever Rise, guys. They released Ever Rise. So stupid. But all of these releases, obviously Tyler Breeze being one of them, let's go back and have a reminder as to how amazing Tyler Breeze really was in NXT, especially on the early days. So Adrian Neville, your now pack, obviously was the NXT champion versus Sami Zayn, Tyson Kidd, and Tyler Breeze at NXT TakeOver at number dose 2. Go check it out. That's your random match recommendation of the week. And if you guys check out the AEW Dynamite review show coming up, Road Rager, there may be a little surprise co-host that I've nicknamed after Becky Lynch appearing on there. So definitely be on the lookout for that. And that is all from me this week, guys. Thank you for being patient with me and my annoying throat and illness and all that stuff. But I just wanted to make sure I at least got this out Monday or not. Here's to another week in wrestling. I'll talk to you guys next time. Thanks.